A long time ago, Kindalach, was a Yid named Gavriel. He came from a nice, frum family. They kept Torah mitzvahs. But this was an interesting time. And this is what happened. When Gavriel was growing up, his Tati would say to him, Gavriel, you have to watch out for a certain kind of people that learn a brand new thing. Now, I don't know what this thing is exactly, but I'm afraid that it, chas v'shalom, could take a person away from Hashem. And it's called Chassidus. And the people that learn Chassidus are called the Kat. We call them the Kat. They also have the name Chassidim. Now you have to watch out for Chassidim, and also their leaders are called a Rebbe. Because there's something very, very strange about this new thing called Chassidus. You have to watch out for people like the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezritch Maggid, and especially the Alter Rebbe, who teaches Chassidus. Don't let me catch you with one of their Sfarim, or else you're finished. Okay, Tati. As Gabriel got older, he wondered more and more, what is this Chassidus that is such a terrible thing that his father talks about? And he never met one of these Chassidim. One day, one of his friends in yeshiva, a good boy who was one of the best learning boys and the best davening boys and the best mitzvah boys and who had the best midos toy voice. He was walking home with Gavriel and he says to Gavriel, Gavriel, I want to tell you a secret since you're my friend, but don't tell anybody else. Gavriel says, what's the secret? He says, there's something very wonderful that's been happening, and I'd like to share it with you. I don't want you to get in trouble or anything, but I'm just saying for your own good, it's a very good thing. Trust me, I'm your friend. Meet me in the shul tonight, after Ma'ariv, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Well, after Ma'ariv, Gavriel used to learn in the shul with different chavrusas and sometimes this friend. The boys used to learn. And his friend called him over to his table. And he says, I want to learn with you a certain sefer that's very, very halik. And he took out a sefer called the Tanya. And Gavriel got afraid. Oh, my Tati said I should stay away from that. That's something that's not good. And his friend says, Gavriel, I know what people say, because they're afraid. And there's reasons they're afraid. But you should know, this Tanya is not something to be afraid of. It's something that's very special and very halik, and it brings a person closer to Hashem. Gavriel says, my father says it'll take you away from Hashem. And the friend said, with all respect to your father, he's only afraid of a new thing, because there are certain new things that came out in the last years that certainly were a problem. But Chassidus is not a problem. The other things were. Chassidus is not. Chassidus is very halik and very special. Your father means well, but he doesn't understand. Now take it from me, this Chassidus brings a person to Yiras Shemayim, and more Kedusha, and more Torah, and more mitzvahs, and more midas teves, and it's completely good, or else I would never tell you about it. Well, Gavriel was afraid, but they sat down and they learned for about a half an hour, and Gavriel saw that this is only pure Torah, and pure Kedusha, and there's nothing wrong with it. And every night they started learning Tanya, until Gavriel became very, very excited about Chassidus, and he saw it was very special and very halik. And he even got his own Tanya that he kept hidden in his house. And nobody knew it was there except him, because if he would get discovered, if anybody would find out that there's a Tanya in his house, he would be in very big trouble. Sure enough, it happened one day. One of his brothers came into his room, and he was trying to find something, and he went into a drawer in Gavriel's dresser, and he found the Tanya. And they went to tell the father. The father got very angry, and he called in Gavriel, and he screamed, "I told you never to do this. I told you never to learn this. What's wrong with you?" And Gabriel tried to explain to his father, "There's nothing wrong, and it's halig, and it's special." And the father wouldn't hear, and he screamed, and he yelled, and he shouted. And he threw Gabriel out of the house, and he would not let him in unless he would, chas v'shalom, get rid of all these sfarim of Chassidus and never go near Chassidus again. But Gavriel knew that this is halik, this is special, there's no reason to do this. And it's only a matter of showing his father that it's only good. But the father wouldn't listen. And Gavriel was thrown out of his house, and they never let him in the house. It did not stop there. Gavriel lived by himself until finally he got married. After he got married, he and his wife needed parnassa. They needed a way to make a living. And Gavriel opened a store. Kenalach, by this time, Gavriel was already a chosid of the Alter Rebbe. And he would learn and daven and do mitzvahs. And he would do all the things a chosid should do. And he worked in the store to make money in order to have money for his wife and for himself. Unfortunately, they did not yet have children, even though they were married a few years. But then it started happening. Gavriel would come in the morning, the windows were broken on the store. "Oi, somebody is breaking my windows. Oh, a terrible waste. I have to put new windows. It costs so much money." He puts new windows. A few days later, again, the windows are broken when he comes in the morning. "Who's breaking my windows? Some troublemakers in the neighborhood? This is terrible." This went on several times a month. All of his windows broken. And sometimes at night, somebody tried to start a fire to the store. And sometimes he came in the morning and it was burning the store. Until one of the neighbors, who knew of all the trouble, decided to stay up one night very, very late and keep looking at the store to see who does it. He wanted to help Gavriel out. And he could not believe his eyes when he saw one of Gavriel's own brothers pick up a rock in the middle of the night and throw it through the window. And the brother screamed out, "That'll serve you right for learning Chassidus. That'll serve you, that'll teach you a lesson." In other words, unfortunately, the brothers were making trouble. The family was making trouble for Gavriel because he was a chassid, and because he chose to learn Chassidus and be a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And every time he tried to explain to them what Chassidus was, they never wanted to listen. Could we? Now, all of this time, Gavriel never complained to the Alter Rebbe about his trouble. He did not want to bother the Alter Rebbe with what was going on with him. And even more, that was a pain for Reb Gavriel and his wife, was the fact they had no children. But he never complained to the Alter Rebbe. He just had bitachin in Hashem. He trusted Hashem that someday they'll have a baby. Because every day they davened for a baby, and they knew that Hashem is the partner that has to give the bracha to have the child. The Gemara says there are three partners for a baby. There's the mommy, and there's the tati, and there's Hashem. There was a mommy, and there was a tati. There was a husband, there was a wife. But they knew that Hashem's bracha wasn't there. They just have to learn more Torah and do more mitzvahs and give more tzedakah and daven to Hashem. He should give his bracha. And that's what they did. Not only that, even with all the broken windows and all the fixing the fires, every time there was a chance to give tzedakah, Reb Gavriel would be the first one to go to the Alter Rebbe to give money to help different things. For example, the Alter Rebbe was very careful to send money to Eretz Yisrael to poor Yidden that were learning and living in Eretz Yisrael. They lived in very, very poor conditions, and their whole lives were learning and davening in Eretz Yisrael. And the Alter Rebbe used to ask the Hasidim to send money, to gather money together, and to give money for these poor Talmidei Chachamim. And Reb Gavriel was the first one to happily give, even though with the broken windows, and even though with all the trouble. Until it got so bad, with more things happening to his store. Because sometimes the windows were broken in the middle of the night, and people came in and they took everything out of the store as well. So not only he had broken windows, everything was stolen from the store, so he had to go and spend more money to buy new things. One time, the Alter Rebbe had asked the Chassidim to give a special amount of money, each one. And sometimes the Alter Rebbe even said to a certain chassid how much he should give. He felt that the chassid could give this amount, and sometimes it was even more than the chassid himself thought that he could give, but somehow he came up with it, Hashem helped, that he was able to come up with that amount of money. And one time there was a chance to give, but Gavriel had a certain amount that the Alter Rebbe had asked of him, and there was no way to come up with that money because he had just had his windows broken and things stolen from the store. And this is the first time that his wife had seen him not happy, not besimcha. He was always besimcha. This is the first time he was a little bit sad and a little bit depressed, because a chassid is always besimcha, even though sometimes it's very hard, of course. But he's very careful to be besimcha because he realizes everything is from Hashem, everything is good, and somehow, some way, everything that happens from Hashem is good. So why should you ever be upset? But sometimes it's very hard to feel that simcha. And one day his wife came in, and she said to Reb Gavriel, "What's wrong?" And he told her what was wrong. And he said, "I really want to give that money to the Alter Rebbe, but this time there's no way." She says, "Don't you worry, tomorrow morning you're going to have that money for the Alter Rebbe." "How? What?" She says, "Don't worry. The Alter Rebbe asked for that amount, he's our Rebbe, and he's going to get that money, Hashem is going to help." Well, she went by herself, without anybody telling her or asking her, and she didn't even tell her husband, she wanted to surprise him. She took all of her jewelry. How much did she have anyway? Not too much. But whatever she had, she went and she sold her own jewelry and anything else that she could take from her own things to get money for. And she sold it that day until she got all the money that Reb Gavriel, her husband, had asked that he wanted to get for the Alter Rebbe. And she put it all together in a bag, and she gave it to her husband the next morning. She says, here is all the money the Alter Rebbe needs for the tzedakah. It's all here. Where did you get this money?" She says, "Don't worry. Wherever I got it happily, and I want us to give it to the Alter Rebbe." Now, in Reb Gavriel's town, there used to come a shliach from the Alter Rebbe that the Alter Rebbe sent to different chassidim to collect the money to send to the poor people. Now, it could be in a few days or another week that the shliach will come. So Reb Gavriel put the money aside. He went to his store that morning, and again the windows were broken, and again things were taken out from his store. And he sees he has to get more money just to put his store back together again. And all of a sudden he thought of the money that was in the bag. And he says, of course, I cannot take that money. It's for tzedakah. I can't touch it. But if I leave it in the house, and I know how much I need the money, it's going to bother me so much that there's so much money there, and I can't take it, and I have no way to get other money. I'm afraid that my own Yetzirah might make me take and borrow from that tzedakah money, where I know that I have to give it to the Alter Rebbe, and I wouldn't be able to pay it back. So Reb Gavriel decided that he's going to go himself to take the money to the Alter Rebbe. And he asked his wife, he says, please, I would like to go today myself to the Alter Rebbe and not wait for the Shliach to come. He took the bag and he went to the Alter Rebbe. And he traveled to the town of the Alter Rebbe in Liozna. And he came himself and he went into the Alter Rebbe and he gave him the money. Very happily. And the Alter Rebbe opened the bag of money while Reb Gavriel was in the room, and all of a sudden he sees these beautiful shining coins. They were so lichtig, sparkling, like they were brand new shining coins. And the Alter Rebbe asked, where did you get this money? Now, the Rebbe asked where you got the money, so he has to tell his Rebbe where he got the money. He says, well, I'll tell you, my wife, she got the money. I don't exactly know how. Oh yeah, your wife? Why did she get the money? And all of a sudden, for the first time, Gavriel started to cry. He couldn't hold it back anymore. And he started to tell the Alter Rebbe. He started to tell the Alter Rebbe the whole story of why it was this time his wife had to get the money instead of him, because of what was happening with his family, breaking his store because he was a chassid. And he told him the whole story of all the trouble that he had, and that his wife had gone to get the coins. And because he was so tzubrachen and he was crying, for the first time he also cried in front of the Alter Rebbe about the fact that they didn't have a baby, because one thing led to another, and he just couldn't help it. And he told the Alter Rebbe for the first time his troubles. And the Alter Rebbe put his head down on his hands, like he was thinking for a while. And then the Alter Rebbe looked up, and he smiled. And he says, you know what? In the Mishkan, the Yidden gave all the things in the Midbar to build the Mishkan. They gave gold and silver, and they gave different wood, kinds of wood, and different kinds of material. And you know what was the shiniest of all the things that they gave for the Mishkan? It wasn't the gold and it wasn't the silver. It was the mirrors that the women gave. The women had mirrors that they used to look at themselves in, shiny mirrors. And they gave their own mirrors, instead of to keep for themselves, they gave it for Hashem, for his Mishkan, that Hashem should have their mirrors in his Mishkan. And out of the mirrors, they made the kiyor. The kiyor was like a special thing of water. They put water in it. And the Kohanim used to go and wash before they went to work on the Mishkan. They used to wash from the kiyor. And it was shiny, because it was made out of the mirrors. And this was donated by the women. And it was Hashem's favorite thing because of the love they gave it from. And these coins that your wife gave is like the shiny mirrors of the Mishkan that Hashem loves so much. And then the Alter Rebbe says, don't worry. You and your wife, are going to have a very great bracha from now on. Things are going to change around, and you and your wife are going to have a very great bracha in all kinds of ways. You're going to see. First of all, close your store, and you're not going to go to work in your store anymore. Instead of having the store, you should go to work in diamonds and jewels. Then you wouldn't have to have a store. You could travel around and you could buy and sell, and you wouldn't have to have a store. You can go to other people's stores and sell them. And as for a child, don't worry, Hashem is going to help you. You're going to have children. Reb Gavriel went out of there and he was so happy. And he went back to his wife. And the first thing he asked her, he says, you know what? The Alter Rebbe opened the money and it was so shiny. How did it get so shiny? And she said, well, I'll tell you what I did. I got regular coins and they were all, you know, they were all dull and they were not clean. And I wanted to give the Alter Rebbe nice, shiny coins. I just had the feeling I wanted to give something special to the Alter Rebbe to make it look nice. So I went and I took a whole bunch of sand and I got down on my hands and knees in the sand and I put all the money in the sand and I started it rubbing back and forth in the sand to shine it up. And I polished every coin until it was shiny and nice. So we can give the Alter Rebbe a nice shiny present of money for tzedakah. And I also asked Hashem while I was shining the coins, I said, Hashem, just like these coins are shining, please our mazel should also start shining. In other words, our mazel. Everyone has a certain shining light from Hashem called a mazel. And when things are very good, it means your mazel is shining. There's a certain bracha that you're getting from Hashem called your mazel. It's coming through your mazel. She says, till now I felt our mazel was not shining. It was like the coins that were not shiny. And now I asked Hashem, please make our mazel shine. And that's why the coins were shining, because I polished them and I was davening to Hashem. And I'll tell you the end of the story now, Kinalach. Reb Gavriel started now to work in a different business, going around buying and selling diamonds and jewels. And he got a tremendous big hatzlacha. He would buy in one place for not so much money and go and sell in another place, and people paid a lot of money. And because they liked Reb Gavriel very much, they asked him to come back more times. They did more business with him. And also a year later, they had a baby boy. And they had more kindalach. And after a few years, Reb Gavriel got to be very, very rich. And he had even more kindalach. And they had a big family. And Reb Gavriel worked for 40 years in his business. And he became a gigantic, big millionaire. And he had a big family, Kinai Nahara, and his kindalach with Talmidei Chachamim and fine maidlach. And after working for 40 years, and giving a lot of tzedakah and helping a lot of yidden with how much money he had, he decided that he's not going to work anymore. And he gave his business over to his sons, that they should work part of the day and learn part of the day. And he's, for the rest of his life, in the town of Vitebsk, he sat and learned and davened and did mitzvahs. And his family all were great Talmidei Chachamim and Chassidim, and they had a lot of Yerushalayim. And that's the end of this Maisa. One time, Kindalach, a man came to the Baal Shem Tov. He was shaking. He was worried. He looked on his face. He was so worried. There was something bothering him, some kind of a terrible situation, some kind of an emergency. And he said, I have to see the Baal Shem Tov. Okay? They let him in to see the Baal Shem Tov. And Rachmana Litzlan to see it. He goes into the Baal Shem Tov. He says, Rebbe, I'm so worried. I'm so worried. What's wrong? The Baal Shem Tov says, what are you so worried? I'm worried about everything. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about if I'll be healthy. I'm worried about if something's going to happen tomorrow. I'm worried if something's going to happen today. Oh, what's going to happen next week? I'm worried what's going to be tonight. I'm worried about so many things. Please, help me, Rabbi. Well, the Baal Shem Tov says, it's not good to be so worried. And I certainly want to help you. So I'm going to tell you what. Instead of me, I want to send you somewhere else. And over there where I send you, Hashem's going to help you to learn not to be so worried. No, but Rebbe, I want you to teach me. Please, you have to help me, Rebbe. I came to you. Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry. You go where I ask you to go. Okay? You go to Reb Chaim. He lives down the road. I'll tell you how to get there. Go to Reb Chaim. And over there, Hashem's going to help. You're going to learn how to be not so worried. Okay, the Baal Shem Tov explained to this Yid how to get to Reb Chaim's house. But I'm worried, I'm not going to find the house. Don't worry, you're going to find the house. I'll tell you exactly how to get there. And the shaking Yid goes out from the Baal Shem Tov, the worried Yid, and he goes down the road where the Baal Shem Tov told him to go, and over there is Reb Chaim's house. He knocks on the door, and Reb Chaim comes to the door. Yes, who are you? Well, I went to the Baal Shem Tov and I asked him to help me, and he said I should come here. Are you Reb Chaim? Yes, I'm Reb Chaim. Well, please help me. I'm so worried. Baal Shem Tov sent you to me? I don't know why. Why should the Baal Shem Tov have sent you to me? I don't understand. I'm not a special person. I'm not a big tzaddik or something. I mean, the Baal Shem Tov is a big tzaddik. You go to him to help with problems. People go to the Baal Shem Tov for brachas and to get all kinds of advice. I don't know why you came here. Can I come in and sit down? The Baal Shem Tov said I should come to you. I mean, Gesundheit, hey, come sit down. I'll give you something to eat, something to drink. We'll talk a little bit, but I don't know why the Baal Shem Tov sent you to me. The shaking, worried Yid sat down by the table, and Reb Chaim goes to get something to eat and something to drink to do Haknas Sorachim with this Yid. And Reb Chaim really doesn't know why in the world the Baal Shem Tov sent this man to him. As the Yid, all of a sudden, without any knock on the door opens. And there comes in a very scary-looking soldier, like an officer. He takes out his sword, and he lifts it up into the air. The shaking, worried Yid sitting by the table got so worried and so afraid. Look! Reb Chaim turns around, and the soldier with the sword smashes the sword down on the table. And he says to Reb Chaim, where's the money? The Poritz wants the money. You owe the Poritz the money today. Where are the 3,000 rubles that you owe the Poritz? And if you don't pay the Poritz today, he's going to throw you and your whole family in the jail under the Poritz's castle. Where is the money? The Poritz wants it right now. And the shaking, worried Yid is shaking and worried. He was so scared. Reb Chaim Kindelach. Reb Chaim did not show any sign of being afraid. He did not shake. He didn't cry. He didn't in his face show that he was afraid at all. In fact, you saw he wasn't afraid, like nothing happened. Reb Chaim said very calmly to the soldier, it's only the afternoon. I know I owe the Poretz 3,000 rubles today, but today is not over. Today is over when the sun goes down. Tell the Poretz, with Hashem's help, I'll be there today to pay him the 3,000 rubles. And the soldier puts the sword back in his sword thing, you know, what do you call it? The case. He puts the sword back into the sword case and he goes out without a word and he rides away on his horse. And the shaking, worried Yid says, the Reb Chaim, you owe the Poretz 3,000 rubles? Hi, do you have the money? I feel so bad for you. Reb Chaim says, no, I don't have the money. I don't even have 10 rubles. Maybe I don't even have 5 rubles. And the shaking, worried Yid says to Reb Chaim, so how are you going to pay the Poretz back today if you don't have the money? Didn't you hear what the soldier said? He's going to throw you and your family in the jail. And Reb Chaim says, listen, I told him what I said. I mean, didn't you hear? I told him that today's not over yet. With Hashem's help, by the end of the day, I'll be able to pay the Poretz 3,000 rubles. And the shaking, worried Yid says to Reb Chaim, oh, how are you going to get so much money by the end of the day? 3,000 rubles, that's a lot of money.